Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership. Let's go.
Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Tuesday, boys and girls. One question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
That's all that really matters. And we come to you live for the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. So glad you're with us. Game number 5, an all-timer last night in terms of drama and subplots, not to mention a championship team and a modern dynasty staving off elimination, keeping their series alive, injecting hope into their franchise and their city with a remarkably gutty win in spite of losing their best player, Kevin Durant, to what appears to be an Achilles tear. What a crazy night last night in Toronto. Jared Greenberg has been following this series, traveling with this series for NBA TV. Wonderful reporter and host for NBA TV. He's on his way now to Oakland for game number 6. He joins us this morning. Jared, good morning.
Good morning, DA. Wonderful. I love that you prefaced me with wonderful.
I do actually think you're wonderful at what you do, and I do actually enjoy our sparring sessions, and I do really respect your thoughts on things. So I want to ask you, honestly, do you think Nick Nurse messed up calling that timeout as the Raptors led by 6, had all that momentum with 3:05 to play and possession?
Yeah, I think it's an interesting one. You know, Nick Nurse justified it last night by saying it was a use it or lose it timeout. It's part of the whole new game format that the NBA has been evolving to over the course of the last couple of years, where they try and acquiesce to the average sports fan who has not been happy with how long it takes to play the final few minutes of an NBA game.
And I've liked so that alteration. I like that.
Right. So, you know, ultimately, not only are they trying to speed up the game, that's not even the big part of it. It's the game flow that's a bit of a problem, the start and the stop. And Nick Nurse had that timeout in his pocket that he wouldn't have been able to carry over to the final few minutes of the game if he didn't use it. Was it a little bit of overcoaching? Maybe trying to get a read of a team and understanding that. But I also think, you know, at certain times, you want to make sure your defense is set. And at the other hand, you argue, well, this is the best defense in basketball right now. Do you need to make sure for that next possession when you guys get back on defense that you have a game plan for it? Do you not already have that? So maybe. I think that'll be examined. But ultimately, listen, let's be clear. There was a lot more that happened in that game that led to the Raptors losing than just that one time, maybe ill-advised timeout.
You're right, because after that, I didn't mind the stoppage of play if after that the Raptors came out highly organized, had good possessions, were disciplined on defense, etc. The problem was they melted down after that on offense, especially. Those possessions out of the timeout were terrible. Isn't that really what we should point?
Let's also look at this, too. Like, DeMarcus Cousins tried to do everything in his power to hand the game.
No question.
Couple of goaltending calls, a terrible moving screen call. You know, I had this conversation with my producer last night on NBA TV where, you know, people in the truck wanted to look at the numbers and say DeMarcus Cousins had a good game. DeMarcus Cousins nearly cost the Warriors an NBA title last night with the way he played over the final half of the fourth quarter.
Yes. How do we explain how poorly, though, the offensive possessions were for the Raptors in the final 3 minutes?
Well, I think, you know, to a certain extent, what you get with a team and a player like the Raptors with Kawhi is, you know, you always are wondering when he's going to erupt, because he was atrocious what, had 14 points heading into the fourth quarter, and then, you know, was tremendous down the stretch. Where I think he was 5 of 9 in the fourth quarter alone, and in that one stretch where he scored 10 straight points for the Raptors. You know, you're just waiting for that to happen, and ultimately it does. And I think as good of a team as the Raptors are, and heck, the Warriors have been guilty of this with Kevin Durant at times and even with Steph Curry at times, you get caught watching your own guy or waiting for your own guy to do it. And then once Kawhi is such a team guy where he's like, I'm not going to force a play, and the double team comes over to him on that last possession, he's going to swing the ball and make the right play. Were the guys ready for it? I don't know. You know, and I'm not here to, you know, trying to place blame on any one individual player, but I think ultimately we saw the Warriors, who have been pretty bad defensively throughout this series, actually come up with their best defensive possession of the entire NBA Finals when it counted most.
Yep, I agree. Jared Greenberg joins us from NBA TV. Now he's shifting back to Oakland for game number 6. The Kevin Durant injury. I was very skeptical that he was going to play last night. I did not assume he was going to play, and I thought if he did play, it might be 15 minutes, very short leash. They were going to be super careful. Let's start here. Were you surprised that he started and played as much as he did in the first quarter?
So I was surprised that he played. I think it's crazy. You know, we're all hearing different things leading up to him ultimately getting the green light to play. And a lot of it was like polar opposite stuff. And it seemed so weird. Like some people were adamant that there's no chance this guy can play. He's not ready. It's too short of a time frame. And then there's others who continue to leave the door open. And I think it always made me scratch my head about how the Warriors handled this is, as much drama as surrounded their team, Steve Kerr, for the most part, has a track record of wanting to minimize those distractions. And I was very confounded, or dumbfounded, I should say, by the fact that Kerr continued to leave the door open that Durant would play, when yet others within the organization were willing to think that he was done. Now, maybe those people weren't privy to enough information. Maybe those people weren't qualified to speak on it. But it just didn't make sense to me that Steve Kerr wouldn't shut down the possibility to end those distractions of the daily questions to Kerr, to the other players, the constant wondering of whether he'd come back, when we should be focusing on the other parts of the guys who are playing, and yet they never did that. So I was confused that he did play, because I felt like, you know, he wasn't going to be ready. But then ultimately you saw him in warm-ups, you saw him the first few minutes of the game, he looked fantastic, and maybe the Warriors got a little greedy, but ultimately, you know, this is one of those where, like, this is where I hate the whole, like, load management conversation, because, yes, you decrease and lessen the risk of injury by reducing minutes and playing time, but ultimately what Kevin Durant did, if he would have sat and only played 7 minutes in the first half as opposed to 12, he could have done it in the first minute of the third quarter and playing his 8th minute. So who knows?
It did feel as though, and I don't know, this is an outside read, it did feel as though the Warriors had mounting pressure on whether he will or won't he play in this series. And I don't know if that was mounting pressure internally from Kevin because he felt like he was letting his guys down. I don't know if that was coming from the front office because they knew that Kevin was potentially going to leave in the offseason, so we better use him right now because we're going to lose him anyway. Or if that was organizationally, is he really that injured? I mean, it's just a calf strain. He's been out for a full month. To your point, the fact that they never had a cemented kind of plan on this made it feel like it was constantly a state of confusion. And that's very kind of un-Warrior-like, isn't it?
No question. From my perspective, I will disagree slightly that I didn't feel the pressure was on the Warriors. I felt the pressure was on Kevin Durant. And that's a lot of what I wondered about the expediting the process to get him back on the court. And there was a very curious story written by a very credible writer, Sam Amick of The Athletic, the other day, where people within the organization were wondering why he wasn't on the court. And here's my thing. Whether those were justified thoughts by people who are around Durant or not, the bottom line is this. Kevin Durant has showed us time and time again that he cares what people think about him. And again, this is not to justify, this is not to criticize or critique, it is just to state what we have observed, and that is Kevin Durant often responds when people are critical of him or question him. And I just hope that we ultimately don't find out that one of the reasons why they pressed to get back on the court was because Kevin Durant was concerned about the public pressure that he was soft. I don't believe that is true. I am not saying that is true. I'm not reporting that to be true. But you just have to wonder how much the perception of how Kevin Durant looked by not being on the court during what is coming here in the coming weeks had to do with what happened last night.
Yeah, I completely agree. And even if it wasn't Kevin Durant responding to outside perception, if Kevin Durant cares that much about how he's viewed, he would care about internal perception. And that story that you mentioned by Sam Amick, if there was bubbling questions within the organization of, is he really injured? Would other guys play? Is he protecting himself because of free agency? He might have forced his way back onto the floor in response to that pressure, right?
That's exactly what I'm saying. Yes, I don't even know in this case. And again, we all are speculating. We have no idea. But I would say it was more of the internal conversations rather than the external conversations. Because remember, what was running coincide with Durant's injury was Klay Thompson's injury, Kevon Looney's injury, Andre Iguodala's dealing with an injury, Sean Livingston has mounting injuries. All of this was happening, and all of those guys continued to either, they missed a short period of time and came back to play or played through it. And again, each injury is different and unique, and none should ever be compared to one another. But the bottom line is, those guys were playing and Kevin Durant wasn't, and stories were starting to pop up. The guys were growing frustrated, and I believe the word was irritated that Sam Amick wrote, that they didn't know what was going on. The thing I can't believe, having covered every game of this finals and being at every of the media availabilities, is just how annoying it must be for the Warriors, because Kevin Durant still has not been made available once to the media. So nobody has spoken to Kevin Durant on the record, and at the same time, we continue to always interview all these other players and coaches and staff members, and all we care about is Kevin Durant. So we're not even talking about the dynasty, the possibility of winning three in a row, what this means for people's legacies. No, we're talking about why isn't your best player playing and when do you think he will play? And I have to imagine that grew tiresome to guys within that locker room.
Phenomenal point. I kept thinking that. I said, boy, we're seeing a real ability for all these players to stay cool and to stay calm, because who wouldn't just explode and say, Kevin's not playing. I don't know. I don't have the answer. Stop asking me about this. Because it was just incessant. Right. Let me ask you to play pop psychologist here on Bob Myers as Jared Greenberg from NBA TV joins us. He was on the verge of tears after the game. Why do you think discussing Kevin's injury was so emotional for Bob?
I think we forget that people are human beings, right? And I think that as much as they want to tell you they care about other human beings, and it's just basketball and there's more important things. Listen, Bob Myers is well aware of all that's involved here, right? He understands the totality of what happened last night, that a guy who is now probably become and earn the right to be called the best player in the world is now not only not going to have a chance to not play for an NBA title this year, but he's probably also going to miss all of next season. And I think that, you know, whether you believe Bob Myers is concerned about whether they made the right decision or whether there was some negligence on what they did, or whether it was just the fact of the matter is Bob Myers saw firsthand in the locker room a grown-ass man who is the best athlete in the world just absolutely have a breakdown and was very emotional himself because of what happened. I think that affects you. And if you don't allow other people to be captured by the moment and understand how devastating that is. Like I've said this before, and I just alluded to it a bit, but let me just dig in here for a second. We're human beings. And when you see a man, no matter how much money he has, no matter how much success he has on his resume, when a man suffers an injury that's going to take him out of what he does for probably the next year, if that doesn't affect you emotionally and make you think or feel sorry for him, then I don't know what that says about you as a person.
Do you think that front offices pulled their Kevin Durant offers off the table last night?
No. And I think it's absolutely absurd to think that Kevin Durant, by playing last night and ultimately getting injured, cost himself a penny. I think all 30 teams and any team that has the ability to offer Kevin Durant the most amount of money that's legally they're allowed to by the collective bargaining agreement will offer him every single one of those pennies and try and do everything that's legally allowed to get him on their team, even knowing that he more than likely will not be able to play all of next season.
Okay, this is really interesting because so many players that have suffered Achilles injuries not only sit out that following year, but are never quite the same. Why do you think that
none of those players are in the mix for best player of the world at the time of the injury, nor were they 31 years old. A lot of these, Rudy Gay is a guy who's coming off of one right now who's, you know, not necessarily considered old, but a lot of those guys that we want to focus to or go to who we know have had those injuries over time have been later in their career and were not in the prime of who they are. I know that there will be doubts about Kevin Durant returning to that status as the best player in the world when he comes back, whether it's 10 or 12 or longer months or maybe even shorter. But the bottom line is, today's NBA, you need a guy like Kevin Durant to give yourself a chance to win an NBA championship. I mean, let's just look at this, DA. I mean, we've been talking so much about how it was just a foregone conclusion that the Warriors are going to win the championship because of who they have. Kevin Durant is out, and the Warriors may lose a title because they don't have him. There are plenty of teams for a variety of reasons. A lot of them are basketball, but a lot of them are also recruiting and branding and awareness and marketing. They want a guy like Kevin Durant on their roster, even if he can't play for the first year.
Being inside that arena, did you cringe when Raptors fans initially cheered the injury?
I did. I'd like to say it was a heat of the moment type of thing, and we all make bad reactionary mistakes in life. But I also say this about Raptor fans. I'm not so sure that there's been a better group of fans throughout these playoffs. I mean, building has been incredible. The fan support has just been tremendous. When Barack Obama was in the building the other night for Game 2, the fans, who are Canadian, by the way, and even your producer, by the way, forgot that the Raptors play in a different country. When he called me today, he was like, why are you going through customs? I don't understand why you have to do that. Raz, that's what happens when you go to a different country.
Not surprising.
But when Barack Obama was in the building, they were chanting MVP, and you got to recognize that a large percentage of the people who were in that building, probably upwards of 80% of people in that building, don't have the ability to vote for president of the United States, right? So things that have happened with this fan base has just been absolutely tremendous. And last night was a black eye. That was a moment they wish they got back. But I would, let's say, not hold that against them for a long time.
Well, and you would know better than I. I thought the reaction changed pretty quickly once they kind of understood the severity of the situation.
Right, and give Kyle Lowry, Serge Ibaka, Danny Green credit for quieting the crowd down, and then there started to be some KD chants, people trying to make up for their error, like they realized it really quickly.
Yeah, it didn't feel like a bloodthirsty crowd that wanted Kevin Durant to have a season-ending injury or a next-season-ending injury. It just felt like in the heat of the moment, this could help our team. Then once they realized the significance of it and took the cue of their players, they kind of... Right. Personally course corrected, and so thus I can't criticize the Raptors fans.
No question. I'm with you on that.
Jared Greenberg joining us this morning on the show from NBA TV. This is nice. We could actually do a segment without fighting with one another.
I kind of prefer the other way around.
All right. So
to be honest with you, I was a little nervous about that today because in the past I've had to do it from NBA arenas where I could walk away from people. I was wondering if security here at the airport in Canada, I was risking missing my flight if you and I really got into it. You're like, I'm not letting that drunk idiot get on the plane. Look at him just screaming at people on the phone.
Yeah, detained at the Toronto airport because he joined right. The DA show. So, okay, so next time we have you on, I will cook up some type of argument between us. It'll be like First Take.
Thank you. Could we do some geography with Mraz? Yeah.
Mraz had no idea Toronto wasn't in America. Well, he thought that Boise was a two-hour drive past Cleveland, so... Check out Jared Greenberg daily on NBA TV for all the latest on the NBA finals. Thanks, bud.
Appreciate you guys.
Okay, you too. Travel safe. Jared Greenberg joining us this morning on the show. When we come back here on the program, do the Raptors blow their chance at a title? We'll jump into that, plus continue taking your phone calls on last night's game number 5 and read through Trash Tuesday. Trashes DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
A no sweatpants at work zone.
I am happy, okay? I get to come to work every day. I laugh. I watch sports. I pass gas. I eat.
Sure.
I'm a man, all right? I like my life.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Part of the reason Mraz likes his life is because he's allowed to pass gas. Shows you where the priorities are on the Mraz household. 27 minutes past the hour. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. The DA Show available on your phone if you need it by listening to us at radio.com or Apple Music or at the CBS Sports app. The Game Plan for Success, sponsored by Napa, taking a look at a team and their plan for success. Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final tomorrow night. Blues blown a huge opportunity in Game 6 at home, but the Cup is still in their grasp if they can figure out Tuukka. Two U's, two K's, and now a win away from a championship for Tuukka Rask of the Bruins, who allowed just one goal, stopped 28 shots on Sunday night. The Blues have the best score between the two teams, and Vladimir Tarasenko got to rise to the occasion for a cup to come to St. Louis for the first time ever. Napa Auto Parts is the expertise in parts you need to help you keep your car on the road no matter how many miles it has. Quality parts, helpful people, that's Napa know-how. Did the Raptors blow their chance at a title? No. But maybe. No, I don't think they did because they have proven they can win on the road. They have won both of those games at Oracle. They're 2-0 in Oakland. And so who's to say they can't be 3-0? Who's to say they might not feel less pressure because then they're not at home? And let's face it, knowing that Kevin Durant can't come back for this series, the longer the series goes, the Warriors can't get better physically. They're already sucking wind. They're already on fumes. So last night might have been Custer's last stand. It might have been the Warriors giving everything that they had, thinking they had Kevin Durant, responding in honor of Kevin Durant, a few flurry three-pointers at the end to save their season, benefited from a poorly timed timeout from Nick Nurse, and survival mode. But they might come out in game number 6, and the Raptors might completely work them, you know, like they did in game 3 and then the third quarter of game number 4 and like they did in game number 1. And then even if they don't, they get to come back for a game number 7 to Toronto, and if you're going to play game 7, you'd rather have it at home. And again, the longer this series goes, in some ways you could make the case it's better for the Raptors because there's just no way the Warriors won't be more exhausted, fatigued, injured, banged up, compromised, running on fumes more so than the Raptors because the Warriors have done this 5 straight years. So no, I don't believe that the Raptors blew their shot at a championship last night. But they might have. I mean, sometimes you just don't recover. That 6-point lead with 3 minutes to play as Kawhi was unstoppable and the roof was about to blow off and it was right there for them. The fact that it all went to hell in a handbasket, that it all went south as soon as Nurse called that timeout is really frustrating. Really, really disappointing and makes you wonder if that was the shot. Because coming out of that timeout, they needed to have a couple of very organized, structured, disciplined sets. They had to have some good shots, some good ball movement, some good plays set up, decent defense, and it all just collapsed on them. And to be that close to a title and to have it slip away, you don't know how they'll emotionally respond because Nick Nurse has never been here before. Most of those guys outside of Kawhi have never been here before. You don't know how they'll respond, and maybe they'll go to Oracle and be deer in headlights and suddenly the Warriors win easily and now all the pressure is on the Raptors because going into game number 7, all we do is talk about how the Raptors had a chance to close and they couldn't and now they're into a game 7 and who knows, maybe they just freeze. Who knows how they respond? We don't know. I will say this. I don't think the Raptors will freeze because I think they've taken on Kawhi Leonard's his personality, his demeanor. I think that they'll be pretty even keel and unemotional because that's the way Kawhi is. But you just don't know if that was the chance. That was the apple that you just have to grab off the tree and take a bite because you don't get another grab at it. You don't know. It was there. It was there for them. It was so there. And I just felt like this is it. We're watching one of the greatest postseasons ever, capped off by one of the greatest postseason individual performances ever in a game, clincher. Because Kawhi was about to win the whole thing. He was about to bring that house down. And we were about to talk about Kawhi Leonard's 2019 in the breath of some of the greatest postseason individual performances ever for a playoffs. And now we have to wait to see how they respond in game number 6. When we come back, we'll jump back into your phone calls, some trashes as well, and your epic fail, DA, CBS Sports Radio.
We are the glitch in the simulation.
These bots can be destroyed and thrashed in seconds. A lot of them have fire and flame and the ability to flip their opponent.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
39 minutes past the hour. The DA show is with you live in sparkling Technicolor every single day. And there's also a PGP, the show about the show within the show. And this week's PGP, which will be released tomorrow, involves a permission-granted profile of a D-alien that has gone down in lore around here. One Hurricane Jen.
She's a bad girl, David.
Kurt Cousins.
Hurricane Jen has become one of the most identifiable characters in the DA show universe. And Mraz has tracked her down and spoken to her in our series of permission-granted profiles. I am fascinated to hear this. It is not released yet. He has taped a conversation with her. We will release it tomorrow to the masses as part of the permission-granted podcast, the show about the show within the show.
I hate my ex-husband.
Apparently, we learn a lot about her ex-husband. We learn a lot about her physical development.
Uh-huh.
We learn
her occupation.
Her occupation.
I promote music.
Is she a music promoter?
She tried to get that in there, but I thought the more revealing was job number two she had. She's been through a couple divorces. We get into that. Really, if you're looking for me to ask her questions, this is about 12 minutes of Hurricane Jen just letting it rip.
I need to say, I love you, but you broke my heart.
Oh, God, I can't wait. That's this week's PGP coming your way tomorrow. The unexpected moment of the week brought to you by ExxonMobil. This week's unexpected play happened last night. With over 9 minutes left of the second quarter, Kevin Durant goes to the ground clutching his lower right leg, would not return. Without him playing in the series, what happens now? The Warriors, who have already lost 3 games minus Kevin Durant, has to stave off 2 more times to finally clinch their 3rd straight championship. Can they do so? Well, if industrial plants could capture CO2, think how we could help lower emissions. ExxonMobil, working to make it happen. That's the unexpected energy of ExxonMobil. And our toll-free line is brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Geico.com. 15 minutes. You could save 15% or more on car insurance. Aaron's in Abilene, Texas, listening on 98.1 of CBS Sports Radio. Good morning, Aaron.
Good morning, DA. Love you guys as usual. I'm excited to hear from Hurricane Jen. It's been a minute. I love her to death.
Yeah, same.
Well, listen, this thing is going to take weeks to unravel once it's over. I love it. I don't want it to end. I definitely want it to go to 7. It's just been, it's been a dream come true. I can spend hours talking about these games. I'll just try to keep it quick, real quick. First thing is the Toronto fans, everybody knew going into this game that KD wasn't going to play a full game. We all knew that. And I think the initial reaction was based on that. I don't think it was targeted more to the injury itself as much as, okay, it's sort of a take a deep breath, he's done. And so, you know, Toronto, I'll give you a pass on that. You guys have built up enough brownie points, I think.
Yeah, I think it could have been that. I would, though, say that I thought that last night, if KD played at all, it'd be 10 to 15 minutes, that Steve Kerr would bring him in off the bench. He would provide some type of emotional lift or spark in the second quarter, play him a little bit in the third quarter, maybe a little bit in the fourth quarter, and he would exit after 10 or 15 minutes of total play, maybe top it out at 18 or 20. I said, I didn't think he was going to play at all last night, but if he did, it was going to be limited action. And then he played, what, 10 minutes in the first quarter? 9 or 10 minutes in the first quarter? So I don't know if they had any intention of not riding him. I mean, if he's going to play 9 out of the first 12 minutes, and he ended up with 11 minutes overall, I think, played, they probably had every intention of, as long as he looks good and is effective, we're going to play him. I mean, why would you play him the first quarter and not the third or fourth? So I don't know if anybody, yes, going into it, I would have expected him to play limited minutes. But once he played the bulk of the first, didn't most of us think that he was going to play the bulk of the game as long as he could? I mean, if he was going to be that effective, if he's drilling three-pointers from all over the place, which he was, harder than to sit him down, I suppose. Nithin's next up. He's in New Jersey, listening online, CBSSportsRadio.com. Good morning, Nith.
Hey, D.A., how you doing, man?
Good morning. I'm good, good. What's up?
Oh, man, first of all, I just want to send my prayers to KD. I hope he gets well soon and with the speedy recovery. Devastating injury. I don't know why Steve Kerr didn't put him on minutes restriction. They should have, like you said, start him off on the bench and maybe give him a spark. But I knew this was gonna. I knew something would happen like this. But I just want to wish him well. He's a great player, great person, and then great. He's a great teammate. So I'm hoping. I think this increases the Warriors' chance of keeping him with this injury. So,
well, look, if he ends up deciding to opt back in, he's got $31 million, and it's his player decision. He can opt right back into the Warriors, get paid $31 million next season, and not test the free agent waters and get paid to rehab, basically. But we just had Jared Greenberg join us from NBA TV earlier in the hour. He said he didn't think Kevin Durant lost one penny. He said he didn't think he lost one penny with the injury last night, that nobody would not pay for KD in spite of that injury, that it wouldn't pull any money off the table, any offers off the table, any confidence off the table, which I was kind of surprised to hear Jared say, because I think there's got to be at least a couple of teams that get a little scared of giving KD super max money, and then not knowing he's probably not going to play next year. Who knows? But then what's he going to be like afterwards? But we'll see what the market dictates. It is a Trash Tuesday, so it is time to take out some trashes as well. Scott tweets, I'm trashing Raptors fans for cheering when KD got injured last night.
Warm, sizzling garbage.
Like I said, I'm not going to judge them. I think almost every fan base, if not every fan base, would do the same thing until you realize the severity of the injury, and that's when they course corrected and they quieted down, and then they started chanting for KD when he left. So I don't think Toronto Raptors fans are somehow unique for instantly cheering in the moment somebody on the opposing team going down. That happens all of the time. TJ tweets, I'm trashing you, DA. How have you not set up this joust session yet so that Huge Freeze can pummel Mraz and get himself back on the show? That's inexcusable. Get you out.
Stinky debris.
Get him out.
Look, I got to wait until after the NBA Finals. We only have space for one epic athletic competition at a time. Now, once the NBA Finals and the Stanley Cup Final rest, we put a bow on the champions, then I can think about the next championship to be waged, which might be a joust between Mraz and Huge Freeze, but I don't know yet. There's also a lot of safety precautions. I don't think CBS is going to sign off on a joust because that would mean potential death. I don't think they're going to do that. They're worried about us eating hot dogs.
What if we use sporks?
Really long?
Yeah, put a sporks at the end of like a pool stick.
Oh, a spork at the end of the pool stick.
Yeah.
I could see you guys both getting punctured in your Buddha bellies with that long pool stick and spork.
Oh, you can't get hurt with a spork.
But the pool stick, yeah, you could.
But that's why the spork extends. You're not going to get directly stabbed with the hard part of the pool stick. The spork will break the fall.
And you're going to be riding on horses?
No, I'm riding on you. Huge will ride on Bogus.
Uh-huh. So I'm going to hold you up on my shoulders.
Yeah, Bogus will hold up Huge. Or Bilotti holds me up as the antifreezes and you hold Huge up as the Hugies.
I would need one ham hock and then Bogus gets under the other ham hock for Robbie.
I thought he weighed so close to me.
He might. I wouldn't be able to get you up either.
I think you would.
Joshua tweets, I'm trashing the coworker working voluntary overtime, attempting to recruit me to work too, then acting mightier than I when I tell them there's no chance in hell. I can barely get through 5 days in this hole, and now I'm lesser for declining a sixth. Get him out.
Let's face it. That's straight trash.
Get him out.
Costner tweets, I don't blame the subway lady for being a loud cougher. I blame Jody Mack for being a bad influence. Hashtag good for her.
Good for her. God bless.
Mezzy tweets, I'm trashing laughing babies. Every time a baby laughs, spit goes flying, nose starts leaking, and their eyes roll back like they're having a stroke. Are they having fun, or should I call 911? Get the laughing babies out.
Hold your nose. That's some smelly rubbish.
People usually love laughing babies. I don't think that's going to be a very popular take there. Drenzito tweets, I'm trashing the guy who selects the type of gas using the nozzle instead of the handle. Then I come along and press it, and I stink like gas.
Beep, beep. Sanitation just arrived.
Dude. Kevin tweets, and by the way, Kevin's handle is at trolling you, so that's nice. I'm trashing you, DA. When the day comes where people cheer when your son or daughter goes down in any sporting event with an injury, you will see how you feel then. Hashtag get him out.
Warm, sizzling garbage.
Get him out.
Are we talking about injuries like in Little League? Like, yeah, if your instantaneous reaction in Little League or high school sports is to cheer when a player goes down, yeah, you got problems. If you're saying, wait till my son is at Kevin Durant's level in the NBA Finals and a championship is on the line, wait till I see how I feel if the crowd cheers my NBA Hall of Fame son in Game 5 of the NBA Finals, yeah, I'll let you know. Yeah, I'll get back to you there. At trolling you, I'll reserve the right to see how I feel then.
You're the real MVP.
If my son says that to me on the podium of the NBA Awards.
Dad, you're the real MVP. You hosted that really weird sports talk radio show in that spaceship for all those years. You put a roof over our head. You made all those weird spaceship puns. You watched all those 80s sitcoms. Man, you're the real MVP, Dad. I couldn't have been here without you. I'm like, thanks, son. Thanks so much. Appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah.
You gave me this big, bright, white smile, DA. I mean, Dad, you can't spell Dad without DA.
Let's get to your epic fail of the morning, boys and girls. Rick in Toronto wants to apologize for all Raptors fans.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
Rick is in Toronto. He listens at radio.com. Good morning, Rick.
Yes, good morning, DA. Thank you, Damon, for taking my call.
You got it. What's that?
I'm not happy as a human being. I'm not happy as a Canadian.
They look like a bunch of jerks.
I'm sorry that they did that. Unfortunately, we don't count in the ratings, and we proved it last night. We shouldn't count in the ratings.
What?
This was very ignorant what they did last night. I'm sorry what they did.
It's breaking bad news with
Rick is in Toronto.
This is Toronto. This is a team that liked Harold Ballard a long time ago with the Maple Leafs, and they were horrible.
For sure.
So, and they still put the Maple Leaf Gardens always was packed in those days. And now it's Scotiabank Arena, and they're packing them now. So I'm sorry what happened last night. I think that was wrong. Steph Curry, her wife, Alicia, is from Toronto. She grew up in Markham, Ontario. I'm sorry what happened. It was very ignorant of them. I don't know what else I can say to them. You know, I know Canada ruins the television ratings. I'm sorry we always do that to that. We ruined the ratings for the network down in Bristol, Connecticut. I'm sorry we always do these things wrong. We ruined your CBS 1990 to 1993 baseball contract.
So good! Yes, so good! You've got the idea!
Billions of dollars were lost. I'm sorry that happened to it, but our broadcasters like Rogers and Bell Media, they're greedy people because basically they do something. We got mad at them at the Super Bowl. We couldn't see the Buffalo station's commercials, and they're mad at us and because of that thing.
Can you look at yourself in the mirror?
DA, and that's they're very mad at us because we complained to the CRTC about that, and now they can have their show back on Bell Media, happy and no thanks. So I'm very I'm sad about what happened. Thank you very much for taking my call.
Okay, you got it. You got it, Rick. Wow, that's
epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
Whoa.
So many different emotions on so many different levels.
Dude.
Wow.
First time caller, too.
Wow. I'm sorry we always get all of these things wrong. I mean, talk about a complex. We have given Rick and Toronto, as Americans, a complex. I'm sorry we ruin the ratings. We ruin the TV ratings. I'm sorry we always get these things wrong. Rick, you don't have to apologize. Don't worry. It's going to be okay.
First time caller, too.
Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer of the DA Show. Thanks to Pete the Body Bilotti on the Wheels of Steel. Thanks to Andrew Kaplan at WatchDA.com doing the simulcast thing. And thanks to Andrew Bogish on your headlines. Tomorrow, we have rescheduled Babe Ruth's granddaughter estate sale. We shall discuss tomorrow. Be good and be good to one another. The Mothership Disconnects.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.